For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site. Okay, we're on chapter 10, I believe. Now, we'll do one more kashrus lesson here. I get this question pretty often. What happens if someone finds an insect in their food, in their pot or their pan or their dish? And so insects aren't kosher, but they want to know if the equipment is non-kosher. Like, let's say you have a spoon and you see a little bug floating in. You know. So the rule is that the equipment, the food, the dishes and the pots and pans are still kosher, even though the insect is not. Because even though insects are not kosher, they don't give like a bug flavor into the, you know, they don't make the equipment non-kosher.
They make it nauseous,
right? You want to clean it well, but you don't have to throw it out if you don't want to. So we're actually talking about how an insect can spoil something. You can have a perfectly good dish, and it looks wonderful.
Page 150.
You have a perfectly good dish that you've worked on, that you've cooked, that you've prepared the ingredients, and it smells delicious. And you open it, and you find one dead insect in there, or a live insect, and it just kills the whole thing. It just makes it nauseous. You can't eat it. You can't use it. And it's just an awful feeling. In fact, there was a while that we had a problem that some of the supermarkets were selling old barley. And so when people would make, they'd peel all their potatoes, and they put their meat, and then they would pour the barley in the chowan, and the bugs would come to the top, and it was like, oh, my. And it was like... And I didn't get questions, can you take the bugs out? Because nobody wanted to eat it when they saw the bugs, you know, in it or the... So, yeah, sometimes that's the problem, you can't even get them out. So Shlomo Amar talks about this idea here. He says, Zvuvei Mavis, you can have a dead fly, Yavish Yabia Shemen Rokeach. They used to make perfume. They'd have different fine oils, and they would take... cloves and incense, and they would put them in the oil, and they would make it really smell good. That's how they made homemade perfume and colognes. But if you had the insects get in there, it would destroy the whole. It's like one rotten egg, as it was the old expression. So he says, "Vuvei mavis yavish yabia shemen rokeach yach." A little bit of something rotten, a dead bug, a dead insect, something disgusting can mess up some really good oil. A little bit of foolishness outweighs a lot of wisdom. There are people that are very smart and do things, everything right, and then at the very end, they did something very foolish. They signed on the dotted line, or they decided to buy something they shouldn't. And until now, you could throw away so much good by just making one bad mistake or one thinking, doing something foolish in a... just like that, a person has to be careful because you can throw away in a moment what you've gained in a lifetime just by, you know, signing the wrong thing, you know, giving the wrong person your credit card or doing something you shouldn't do, or sometimes a little bit of foolishness messes up a lot of wisdom. And there are people that had careers and had marriages or families, and they did just something foolish overcame them, and they did something, and it ruined everything. And so that's his expression here, in that sometimes a person thinks, well, it's only a little, you know, it's only this one time, it's only a one. No, a little bit of foolishness can really spoil a lot of good and a lot of wisdom. You have to be careful to be wise to try not to not to ruin it by being foolish in the end, I guess. Okay, verse 2. Lev chacham liyamino, v'lev ksil lismolo. The heart of the wise person is to the right, and the heart of the fool is to the left. A wise person thinks about things before he does it. In other words, it's his right hand is his lev. He reconciles his deeds with his heart. Can I live with this? Have I thought about it? The heart is the part of the body that's the main force, the main pump. And so a wise person, he thinks about his heart is in his actions. Whereas the fool, he doesn't think about what he does. His heart is to the left. It's secondary. There's a very interesting teaching. The word Shabbos, Shin Beis Tav. Shabbos is the day of rest. It also mentions that there's a mitzvah to enjoy Shabbos and do things you enjoy. So there's there was a person who used to say that it's a mitzvah even to sleep on Shabbos, to take a nap or to sleep in. And in Hebrew, the word for sleeping is shina. Shina b'Shabbos tainig. In other words, Shabbos means that even sleeping in honor of Hashem, like you sleep a little later. And in fact, most shuls have adopted that they start a little later on Shabbos than they do during the week for that reason, because part of Shabbos is that you're just not in the same hurry. You don't have to get up so early. It's a... Now, there's another great school of thought that says that learning on Shabbos is special, because a person has a special soul on Shabbos, a special spiritual dimension. During the week, you know, we're running around, we're busy, we're just trying to get through the day. Shabbos, a person is able to absorb teaching and learning in a different way totally. And so the word in Hebrew for learning is shina b'Shabbos tainik. So the difference, the word shina and shena are both spelled with a shin. One is spelled with a shin, and one is spelled with a sin. So the difference is where you put the dot on the shin, to the right or to the left. So the heart of the wise, he says, learning on Shabbos is a delight. And the heart of the fool says, sleeping on Shabbos is a delight. In other words, different people look at things in different ways. Opportunity. Is Shabbos an opportunity to sleep, to eat, or is it an opportunity to learn, to pray, to be spiritual? So the truth is it's both, but even if you enjoy the Shabbos, which we do with the eating and the sleeping, you have to have that spiritual dimension. I guess the challenge in life is there are a lot of fools out there, and how does a person avoid that sickness? You know, how do we avoid being a fool? Like and we don't think about it enough, but when you see it in other people, then it really bothers you. Then you realize, hey, you know, this is something, how do I avoid that? And so his advice is that a person should have his heart, you know, before he does things, he should run them, he shouldn't jump to do them, he should think about them. Verse 3. If a fool goes on a path, now a path means that he's trying to get somewhere. Chaser, even when he goes, he does things foolishly. And everybody can see that he's a fool. One reason that we try to have friends and talk to other people is that when we do something foolish, we don't see it in ourselves. But other people can see it for us. And if we have a friend, hopefully they'll tell us, hey, you know, there's something foolish. You know, and when a person is making a mistake, sometimes it's so obvious to other people, but it's just not obvious to him. And so a person would do well to have advisors or people they talk things over with. There's so many things in life, if they just had discussed it with someone, if they just thought it over a little bit more, then they wouldn't have made that mistake. Verse 4. In ruach hamoshel tala lecha mekompa. Now, from time to time, a person gets the leader angry at him, the king angry at him, the boss angry at him. Sometimes life is that way, that people get upset with us. So what do you do? How do you react? So some people run away. In other words, someone's angry at them, so that's it. Be there anymore, they're out of here. Don't do that. In ruach hamoshe ta'alecha, if there's a spirit of the ruler, of the authorities, or the boss gets angry with you, don't run away. Ki marfa yaniya chatoim gedolin. You'd be surprised if a person is apologetic and is sorry and changes his attitude a little bit, you don't have to run away. Sometimes a person runs away and things are never the same. Things could change. There's just so many different things that happen because that's how new synagogues get started. Somebody gets upset and he goes and he doesn't. People are upset. Give them a chance to calm down. You know, see if uh, See if he uses the word deference. I'm not so used to that word here. And I think it means like a soft, if you're soft, if somebody's angry with you and you have patience with that, maybe they'll get over it. Maybe you don't have to turn your world upside down. Maybe you don't have to run away. The nature of things are that from time to time somebody will get angry with us, but it doesn't, first try to see if you can just deal with it in a, the Hebrew word for merapet, it means like soft, a soft approach or a healing approach. Maybe it can be healed. You don't have to just give up and run away. That's not the, you run away somewhere else, there'll be someone who'll get angry with you over there. There are people that go from job to job to job and they get their boss angry at them and so they run away and they start over and the next boss will get angry with them also. And so, he's advising that, leaders, they have tempers, you know, they get angry at people, they get mad at their servants. He's suggesting not to run away. Now, he's not saying that a person didn't make a mistake. The word chatoim gadolim means even a big mistake. Sometimes people make big mistakes, but if they deal with it in a soft way and they, again, they're sorry, they try to work it out, they have patience with it, maybe things will come back together. There are a lot of relationships that have been repaired, a lot of things that people made mistakes, and it's not the end of things. One of the great things about Judaism is, and really the Tanakh, is that we don't hide the mistakes of great people. Part of the reason is because that's life. You know, people make mistakes, and life can go on, and you can pick yourself up from it. That's the first person, Adam and Eve. They blew it, but that's the human condition: is we make mistakes. It's how you deal with those mistakes is really what's important. But when people say they don't make mistakes, people will make big mistakes, but it's how they deal with it, and how it's if a person deals with it softly, doesn't run away from the mistakes, then perhaps they can do it. Verse 5. Yesh ra re'isi tachat ha-shemesh. Now he gets to another one of his pet peeves. It's hard being brilliant and being a very smart, wise person, because then you perceive all the wrongs that go on in society. You perceive all the things you don't like. Sometimes you go somewhere and I could do this better, I could do that better. So he says there's another evil that I've seen underneath the sun. And under the sun means in this world. This is it's not a spiritual thing. This is something that he's perceived. Kishkaga yochi mepi ashalot. And things happen which seem to be a mistake. Sometimes the government or the king, they make a mistake. They have these things which government does all the time where they do something very wrong or they get something wrong. But in those times also, especially when they had kings that were absolute monarchs, if they said something, so that's what they did. And if they said something that made no sense, you were stuck doing it because that's what the king said. They had, it's like World War I where they had all the emperors and they'd make a cavalry charge against machine guns. The king said, go, the Tsar said they'd send, they made the cavalry. That's how they won the last war. But this was a different war. They had guns. The cavalry was useless against them. And they mowed the people down. What do you do? And they say, charge, you could defeat the enemy. And they'd go running on the horses. And they mowed them all down. And sometimes the ruler just makes a mistake. So too, what happens? Nitin asecho meromim rabim. There are very foolish people that seem to be in very important positions. Vashirim, and other people that are much more qualified, they seem to be in lower positions. It seems to be upside down. Sometimes you get an upside down world where the people in the important positions are fools. And there are people that are very wise that are seem to be in lower positions. So we think that something got mixed up over here. Sometimes there are things in the world that really seem to be out of whack. Sometimes I see a person who's like a servant, who's a good for nothing, who should be washing my dishes, whatever, and he's riding the horse, he's driving the Cadillac. And very important people, they're going like servants. So it's interesting. He kind of leaves that thought. He doesn't tell us what the answer is. But he says that's one of the human conditions, is that sometimes things don't seem to be the way they should be. That we live in a world where, you know, somebody you'd think, he's the president, he's the head of the corporation, he's the... And so and instead of being wise, he's so foolish. Look what he's... And there's much wiser people that are hardworking, doing whatever they're... The irony is, in a free country, we know about the mistakes. And sometimes, and we know that if we were there, we wouldn't make those mistakes. So how could these people that are supposed to be, you know, intelligent, how do they do it? But that's part of the human condition. It's part of life. It's part of that we learn our patience, and that we get tested with, we ask Hashem that we should have good leadership. Okay, verse 8. Chofer gumatz bo yipol. If you dig a pit, you're going to fall into it. That's a great expression. That was sometimes a person lays a trap for someone. In those days, that's how they would catch other people. They make a hole in the ground and they put like a carpet over it. And the guy running by in the horse, and he would fall in. And so the guy's digging the pit. And what happened? They have there's certain websites and certain news stories where they always talk about robbers that are not very intelligent that get stuck in the chimney trying to break in, or all kinds of they left their cell phone in the place that they were robbing, and so the police knew exactly who it was. There's always a story like that. So, but really, many things in life are like that. When a person tries to trap other people, that's the trap for him, because he shouldn't be doing that. Uporitz geter. And there are other people that break down fences, that break down things that were there to protect you. That fence was there for a good reason. You thought, oh, I'm going to break down the fence. Yishkenu nachash, you get bit by a snake. This is understood. The rabbis made fences for the Torah, meaning that they, if you're on a high ledge, so you like to have a little bit of a fence. You go to the top of Stone Mountain, there's a fence there because, it was a year or two ago, they had some college kids that decided, even though the sign said, don't go down this way, danger, you tell them it's danger, that means, hey, that's fun. And they fell. I think they even died. I don't remember. It was a year or two ago, somebody went down the wrong side of the... So now they didn't take any chances. They made like a fence there that's like, it's not so easy to get over on the other side. There's a walk-up side, and then there's a sheer side, which somebody thought it would be fun to try to, not suggested. The fence is there for a reason. And if you knock down a fence, a person is asking for trouble. And the rabbis... It's funny, rabbis is almost a bad word because, oh, the rabbis make life so miserable. Why do they say you can't do this and you can't do that? The rabbis are just Torah scholars or people that are trying to figure out how we can serve Hashem in the best way possible. They made protection to keep us from making mistakes. So, for example, they knew that if you could carry your wallet on Shabbos with money in it, that you could end up buying something. You'll be walking along and you'll see something, and before you know it, you have it. And so therefore they said you shouldn't handle money on Shabbos, because that's a fence that protects you from ending up shopping. If you don't have your wallet with you, you can't do very much shopping that's a fence or a protection. The same thing that we don't mix milk and meat together. Not only do we not mix them together, we wait in between milk and meat. If we didn't wait, there'd be people that would, you know, have one back to back, and they in the same meal, well, pass the milk, pass the meat, I'll have this, I'll clean my mouth, and it just wouldn't work. And the beauty of Judaism is that people are able to keep the rules. We're able to keep the milk and meat separate. We're able to keep the chametz separate from the, even though it's in our houses, we're able to, because we have these rules that kind of protect us, they keep us from... we have a rule like a person isn't supposed to be alone with somebody from the opposite sex, because that leads to different problems, that a person may do something improper. Well, if you're not alone with people in places you shouldn't be, then you won't come to do something improper. But that's a fence that protects you. And if a person avoids the fences and says, well, I'll knock down the fence, I'm not going to, then there are a lot of snakes out there. There are a lot of things a person can be hurt by. Okay. Messiah vonim ya'atzeh behen. And one kind of thing a person can do is knock down a fence. Sometimes you just move the stones a little bit. If you move the stones also, person moves the one thing the people used to do is they used to have stone markers in between their fields, and so what they would try to do is they would move the marker down so they'd have more land and more. You move the boundaries, you move the stones, then a person's going to get in trouble. Bokeh eitzim, or you break down the wood, you also be in danger. It's all the same, a similar idea that if there's a fence, if there's a sign that says don't go there, danger, so that should be an invitation to go try it. It's not a good idea. It's a certain wisdom that for some reason that certain people feel that they are attracted to danger. I don't know what it is. There's a certain our society almost encourages it, to do dangerous things or to, you know, bungee jumping or whatever it is, the highest mountain or the tallest thing. And I think because the people that do it and are successful, they get a lot of fame because look what they did. And so people want to try to do, to imitate. And they have this problem now that young people watch it on YouTube and they want to try the same thing that they see. Yeah. And they want to get on YouTube. And a lot of people have harmed themselves because this is not for you to do at home. But you see someone else do it. So, but the fences are there for a good reason. Okay. In Kea Barzil.
And even saying that, it has become a fence, because then you can't sue, because you were warned, do not try this at home.
Oh, really? That's how they get out of it, is by saying, don't try this at home? Okay. But I bet they say it even when it's not harmful, and so people think, okay. Im kea barza v'hu lo panim. If a person uses, I guess if you have an axe and you don't sharpen it, So basically, when you want to break something, you have to be very careful what you're hitting. You got to be very skilled and very aimed. But if you do it right, you can strengthen yourself. And better than being someone who destroys, a better skill is using your wisdom, becoming wise. Verse 11. If the snake bites without being charmed, there's a certain way to keep the snakes away, and that's called charming a snake. That, in other words, people, I guess, among snakes learn how to, it's a certain skill, because if you do the wrong thing, the snakes will attack. There's a certain thing to charm a snake to, you know, keep the snake from. So what happens if a snake bites somebody with someone who never bothered to learn how to avoid it? So if the snake bit and nobody charmed him, so how come you didn't use your skill? You had the ability to try to save yourself from the snake and you didn't do it. Sometimes the snake means the Yetzirah, the evil. The original snake was what we call the Yetzirah, the evil influence that was upon us. And so when we say the snake, sometimes that's a reference to the snake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the comment on verse 11.
Oh, okay. I see. Shlomo said that if you know how to charm a snake and you don't, what use of it is? So the comment here, which is very good, he says that if a person has his wisdom but he doesn't say anything, so what good is the wisdom? You know, and that's also true. Sometimes after you make a mistake, someone says, I knew you made a mistake, or I knew you were getting lost, or I knew you were doing, so why didn't you tell me? Well, I don't know. So what use is knowing if you don't speak up, if you don't tell people? I think that's what he's saying over here. Okay, verse 12. Divrei pi chacham chein. If a person uses his wisdom and says something intelligent, it finds favor in people's eyes. The sifluk seal, on the other hand, if a person's the lips of a fool, he gets people angry at him. They get him in big trouble. That's also a way to tell. Sometimes a person thinks if they're smart and they say something wise, but they say it in a way that it won't be accepted, then that's not something wise. In other words, there's also a wisdom as to when to use the wisdom and how to be helpful and how to say the right thing. Pilas divrei piu siklus. Sometimes a person starts off saying something that's a little bit foolish, but akris piu holus ra. And in the end, just a little bit of foolish, we're just playing a little bit of a game, ends up being a big foolish. It ends up being much worse. He calls it madness. It ends up being a dangerous foolishness. Vasalcho yir bedvorim, and the fool keeps on talking. V'lo yada adam mashiya, and he doesn't think about what's going to happen. Vasher yia me'achrav miyagilo, who's going to tell him? That's the danger of being foolish, of allowing oneself to exist on foolishness, things that are wrong. V'amo haksilim tiyagenu, and a person, he works hard in his foolishness. People waste a lot of time and a lot of effort in things that are a waste of time. And they're not going to get them to the city. They're going to get lost. Sometimes, like I said, you can sit back and you see people do all kinds of really strange things, and it bothers us. Why don't they use some common sense? Why aren't they thinking? Why don't they? Why are they putting so much effort into foolishness? And really, it's this work that we do in trying to think things over and trying to reflect on things and trying to have friends and advisors and trying to figure out what's foolish. 15. O lecha eretz shemalchecha nar. Woe is to the country who's ruled by a child or somebody childish. I remember when Bill Clinton at his inauguration was playing the saxophone, so somebody was saying, uh-oh, we're in big trouble. It was like a young thing to do, which was like to... But in other words, the rulers have to be someone who has wisdom and age. With us, wisdom is associated with experience, somebody who's been around. And when the leader is somebody who's young, who's foolish, uh-oh. V'sarim baboha yochelu. This person's going to be... if you have leaders who dine in the morning, who are eating brunch, you need to go to work in the morning. You don't need people that are going to be dining in the morning is time to get up and go and to do things. And if the country is ruled by people that are young and foolish and have no experience, and the political officer class, they just want to sit there and they want to dine in the morning, it's okay to dine in the evening. You know, at the end of the day, you know, work's done and you want to relax and, you know, take your time. But in the morning, when there's things to be done and it's daylight and you only have a certain number of daylight hours and you have work to be done, that's not the time to eat. So you're in a lot of trouble if the politicians or the rulers are in it for themselves and they have this childishness about them. Ashrecha eretz shemalchecha ben chorin. Fortunate is the land where the ruler is somebody free. Now, might you say that every ruler is free? It's interesting. In English, he said it's a man of dignity. But when we say free, it means that the person is able to make independent decisions, that he doesn't feel bound to do just because everybody else is doing it, just because this is a tradition. The czars of Russia were the most that really what brought communism on was the way they ran the country was horrible. They were so foolish, and they were they just wanted to preserve the old order even if it made no sense. And the country went to pot. And so woe is to a country that's ruled by somebody, and they weren't really free to change it. The Tsar was ruled by his wife, and his wife was ruled by Rasputin, as the story goes. In other words, here these were the people who were the absolute dictators. The people could live and die on their words, and they were ruled by other people. They weren't free to do what was good for the country. V'sarayis b'eis yochelu. And if people are free and they eat at the proper time, they don't eat when they're supposed to be working, b'gvura, and they eat in strength, and they're not into drink, you know, getting drunk. Getting drunk is a different problem. That's a different, that's not a good thing for people that are in charge, people that are responsible. With laziness, the building starts caving in. And a lot of good ideas, good companies, good businesses, the people just don't have the same drive. They don't work like they used to. You always wonder why the new immigrants always do seem to do so well. They come to the country with nothing, and in a short time, we're going to them, we're hiring them, their businesses to work for us, whether it's Asians or South Africans or whatever it is. And the answer is that they're not lazy. And sometimes we become lazy. And with laziness, you can even make a building, which a building you think is strong and is going to last forever. Things start to sink when they get lazy. And a household, you have a business that can be destroyed by laziness, but a house also, everybody has to do their part. And if people are, hands are weak, then the house will fall apart. There's an interesting discussion in the Gemara. If a person marries a person of wealth who brings maids and servants, whether that mentions that even though they have maids and servants, a person needs to have jobs to do in the house. Because if there's nothing to do, you're in big trouble. You know, we need to have some work to do to keep us busy, so to speak, or to just not to be lazy. Retirement is a big challenge for some people because they need to volunteer, they need to learn, they need to keep on growing, they need to do, it's an opportunity. But some people, they kind of get lazy. They don't, you know, and house starts caving in, and the person's health also starts going when they don't keep busy. They don't stay healthy. Verse 19, L'schoch osim lechem yayin, a person makes a feast to celebrate or for joy, but yayin yismechaim, and wine can make life very happy. Food is a, in the right time, food is a good thing. It motivates people. It gets them to work. And wine can bring person joy. It can bring happiness. There are foods we eat that can change our mood. V'akesef yanes hakol. But there's nothing like money.
It's well, you can't buy the food or wine if you have the money.
At least you have the money, right. Sometimes when there's a problem, Shlomo HaMelech was very rich, but many problems can be solved if you have the means to solve them. And so he's saying that sometimes a person needs a good meal. Everything is to have a good meal or have a good drink. And sometimes if a person just would have the means to do what they need to do, that would solve all the problems. Sometimes it sounds like there's so many problems, but really what it boils down to is they don't have the money. This they use in Yiddish, this expression, v'hakesef yaneh es hakol, that money is the whole problem. Like sometimes you'll get in an institution or there'll be a marriage or there'll be a business and you'll hear problem after problem, but it all boils down to one thing. There's just not enough money. The money will solve everything, so to speak. Kesev yana esakol. Okay. Let's see. 20. Gam b'madech ha-melech al-tekalo. Even in your bedroom, even in a private place, do not curse the king. V'b'chadri mishkavecha al tekal usher. And even in your bedroom where no one else is around, it's not a good habit. A person should never say what he says won't be heard. You should. Today we know that the people are listening, right? They're listening with their cell phones. And but ki ofa shemayim yoloch es hakol. He says a strange thing. He said the birds will carry it. A person should never think that there's so many times in life where people said things and they thought it wouldn't be overheard, and it was overheard. And a person should never imagine and say, he's sure nobody heard. Well, guess what? People heard. And somehow the birds will carry it. There's a famous story with the, I think it was with Shimon ben Shetach, there was a certain king that was against all of the sages and threw them in the dungeons and had them killed. And he went once to the dungeons where he had a sage, and he had blinded the sage. He had, in the times of the Romans, they did terrible things. They did crucifixions and other things. And so he had this sage's eyes put out, and the king himself went to talk to the sage, and he said, why didn't you curse this terrible king? And he said, I don't do that. Yeah, that's not, you know, and he quoted this verse in King Solomon. It's not our, there are people that take special delight in bad-mouthing people, even people that deserve it. it's just not, it's not a good thing. And a person's, well, no one hears us, they're not around. No, it's not a, even in privacy, it's just not a, we avoid just saying certain things, they're just not nice. That's the, you never know who will carry it, even if they don't carry it. It's just not a good habit to sit and badmouth things or say things. And you never know. There's so many people that have lost their jobs because they said something about their boss. Today, people, by mistake, they put it on Facebook. And their boss goes there and says, look what he said about me. He's, and what was the person thinking? You know, like, but it just, people don't realize that things get around. And if you don't want it to get around, don't say it. But if you say, well, no one's going to hear. He's never going to look on his Facebook. He's never going to know. It's incredible how many people they find. Today, the police capture criminals mm-hmm. on the computer. Because the criminals brag about what they stole and what they have, and it's, they put it up there, and they, the police find leads. They have, I think they call it forensic police work, where they go on online and they look around, and if there's been a bank heist, or, and they, the criminals leave the clues themselves because they think the police aren't going to look on my Facebook, they're not going to look on my YouTube, they're not going to, and they do, and things today, they get out there, and so a person, things are told, things are spread around. And we'll just start with the first verse because we can spend the whole week thinking about it, which is Shlach Lachmacha al Pnei Amayim. Send your water, send forth your bread on the face of the water. Basically, that a person should put efforts in many different directions because you never know what will be successful. And so you send out, you try many different good things, and you never know when you'll see something good will come from it.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.